Alor Dorharris.
And welcome back to the Faceless Men podcast covering HBO's Game of Thrones television series. I'm your host, Michael.
And I'm your host, Jesse.
And we're covering Season 5, Episode 6, Unbowed, Unbent, Unbroken. What did you think of this episode? How many Joffrey death scenes?
0.75.
Wow, that was like higher than the last episode.
Yeah.
You think this was better than the last episode?
There was more going on.
There's more disappointment going on. I'm putting it at 0.1.
0.1.
Yeah. I was not impressed with this episode.
I think it's moving the plot along, so I'm all for it.
Speaking of the plot, we're going to do the fast cap real quick. We start in Braavos, and we see Arya scrubbing corpses, playing the game of faces. Then we go to somewhere in Essos, where we see the traveling companions, Mormont and
Tyrion,
right? Talking about their fathers. And then we go to back to Braavos, and we see lies, murder, and suicide. Or suicide, murder or suicide. Depends on how you spin it.
Yeah, we'll have to talk about that.
And then we go back to Tyrion and Jorah in the middle
dick
of nowhere.
And,
yeah, believing in dick merchants. You know, there's a bunch of faith. Do you have faith? Do you have faith in dick merchants? I don't know. We go to King's Landing from there, and we see Baelish versus Cersei and her sparrows. And then travel to Dorne and see some foiled assassination attempts and a botched rescue. We travel back to King's Landing and see the Queen of Thorns has arrived. And then we go all the way up to Winterfell, where we see the bonds of marriage and rape. Rapey, rape, rape. Yay. All right, so let's go into our talking points. Let's travel back to Braavos, and we'll cover everything about Braavos that we want to talk about. What do you think about the Game of Faces?
That is interesting. And they show it a couple times. You know, they show the one girl trying to play it with Arya, and then they show her talking to Jack in a car. And, like, given her story, who are you, basically.
Right. Well,
and I wondered if that's the game, right?
I think that's the game.
Is the game her trying to lie and get it past him? And she gets punished when she's caught in a lie.
I'm not for sure, but yes, I think that's my initial thought as well, that the game of faces is taking on either real or fake personas and passing them off as truth. So it's almost like you have to believe the falsehood. I don't know how the faceless men work, but I think that they truly have to believe, like they learn to believe their own lies, maybe, and that's how they pass it off. Because it seemed like Jaqen was a human lie detector.
Yeah, and it seemed that her lies, she was going with the core of the truth, and then trying to varnish details.
Do you think that she caught on what the game of faces was when the girl that she's been having issues with asked her, did you believe that? Did you believe everything I said?
I think it started to give her a hint.
A hint that's what it is, that's what it's about. So, were there any specific lies that you want to talk about that Arya told?
Hating the
Sandor,
yeah,
right?
Hating Sandor.
Left him to die because she hated him. Jaqen didn't believe her, though.
No.
But I think that is a lie that she's told herself and she almost believes, so that maybe that even breaks my hypothesis.
At least she believes that.
I think she does believe it, that she hated him. She convinced herself to hate him.
So maybe you can't tell
the
lie.
Or maybe she's
you know
been trying
truth.
To.
Yeah.
Maybe that's it. You gotta understand the full truth before you can tell the lie.
Yep. You gotta understand who you are before you can give that up. Because that's where it seemed to be going, that you cannot be no one until you are first yourself, and then kind of like, you have to sacrifice all that. It seems like, especially in that room of faces.
Right, so the other scene here at Braavos, basically, she wanted to know, what do you do with the dead people? After we're done scrubbing corpses, what do you do with them? You'll find out, right, when you're ready. Well, so leading up to that, though, something she made an important, I guess, progression along her path.
Through in her training or whatever?
Yeah, so a father came in with his daughter, who's obviously in pain, some terminal illness, and he hasn't been able to help her, taking her to every healer in the city, and he just wants the pain to stop, which means death. First of all, that as a father, I don't know. I don't think I could ever give up, no matter what. Like, death is just not a fucking option. But maybe that's just my modern take on things. I don't know. But what is your take on how Arya handled the situation? First of all, how did Arya handle the situation?
She totally lied to this girl.
About how, though? I mean,
saying that, giving details about herself, basically, as she came here and the water healed her.
Right. Her father, just like her, had taken her there and it healed her, and now she served the many-faced god or whatever.
Now, yeah, and I believe that the serving of the many-faced god is true. You know, she obviously knew what that water would do to that girl. It's poisoned. It's going to kill her.
Right.
So.
And then, well, it did kill her, because we end up seeing that she had scrubbed her body later, right?
Yep.
So, what kind of implications do you think this has for Arya's character? I mean, she just basically lied to a girl. I mean, she eased her suffering, but I mean, what is that? Is that on the scale of Jack Kevorkian, is that I assisted somebody who wanted to die, or is this I lied to someone to put them out of their misery?
The lying is what makes me not like it as much.
I agree.
I mean, I'm okay with the assist there.
Yes, I am too.
But
I think people have the right to die.
Yeah, but not the giving. Well, I hope they didn't give her false hope about, you know, this water making her better.
Right, because
it's only going to make her pain stop. It's not going to make her pain.
Right. Yeah, this scene actually seriously troubled me. Like, I didn't like.
There's a lot about this
episode. Because I'm highly invested in Arya, right?
Yeah.
You know, because obviously I'm a father of a young girl, and.
Yeah, but this is what assassins do.
This is not what assassins do. Well, I mean, I guess this is what. This doesn't strike me as assassin work. Easing the suffering of others is not an assassin's work. It's very weird.
Yeah.
There's very.
But it does go along with their.
It's very weird edge case.
All men must serve.
Yeah. It's a very weird edge case, like, you know, a father coming, because the father asked for it, I guess. And then she convinced the daughter to drink the poison by lying, which I do not like. But after that, it kind of, I guess she got it rewarded for her dutiful service, and was brought, I guess, to see what they do with the bodies. They cut the faces off or something. I didn't quite get what they did. I mean, because they have a bunch of pillars and alcoves with faces in it, and the way she touched them, it looked like it was actual faces, right?
Yeah, the question is there,
preserved?
Yeah, how would be my...
Obviously, there's probably some kind of magic to it.
Yeah, there's magic involved here. And then they have that conversation about giving up yourself, basically.
Right, so...
Giving up the girl and dreams and...
Is the girl ready to become no one? No, I don't think so. But she's ready to become someone else.
That's the start.
So what I think ultimately Arya is not going to ever be no one. I think she's...
You'll think
she has a special path.
Never complete her training here.
Well, maybe she's going to complete a training, but maybe there's another branch of the Faceless Men.
Oh.
You know what I mean?
Maybe there's different...
I can't ever see her because she cannot...
But they never
She's holding
show.
On to the past.
Yeah.
Obviously.
I wonder how many Faceless Men there are because they only show Jack in a car, right?
We only see Jack and Hagar ever change his face.
Yeah. Right. We don't know how many of them there actually are.
True. We don't. Yeah.
Which is pretty... In my opinion, that's a pretty interesting fact.
You're right. We've never seen anybody else change their face. So, if she's not going to become no one, she's going to become someone else. What do you think... Who do you think she's going to become?
Probably the girl she just eased the suffering of.
You think so?
Yeah.
Do you think that... What other kind of training do we have here? Is she going to ever, like, sword play or, you know, what?
I think there will be.
You think there will be?
I mean, it's hard to be an assassin without some of that, right?
True.
Or learning poisons or some art. There's got to be some art to it, right?
Right. Is there anything else you want to talk about the Faceless Men?
Yeah, I think she will. At this point now, she's starting to give into it a little bit more. I think she will, like, go on to complete it. But then,
well, I think that if a requirement is actually giving up everything from your past, she'll never complete it.
Oh, yeah, because...
She's going to hang on to those people that she wants dead. So, in that respect, I don't think... If that is truly a requirement, I don't think that's ever going to happen.
Do you think that the Faceless Men can only become people who are dead?
I think that the Faceless Men can only become people that you kill.
Oh, that's an interesting...
Yeah, thought. So you can take the faces of the people that you kill.
Specifically, the, like, people, hey, you know,
yes.
She kind of led to that girl's death, so she can become that girl.
That's what I think.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
I think she can become more than that, mainly because there's so many faces in that hall.
Well, maybe Jack and Hagar has been around for a really long time.
Oh, and you think those are all...
I don't know. I can't make any...
Maybe those are the Faceless Men's victims.
Yeah, I think they are. Or people that's also come there and drink from the pool.
See, I think that might have something to do with it because of the way...
You think maybe they have to give up themselves?
Exactly, that's what they're doing when they drink that water. They're giving up hope. They're giving up, you know, themselves, basically.
Okay.
To death. To the many-faced god or whatever. So, maybe that's a requirement.
See, I see Arya as being the agent of that girl's death, so that's why I say that, you know...
That could be, too. But I think all the faces in that place were there, you know, drank.
Okay. All right, so let's go to Tyrion and Jorah. Is there anything particularly you want to talk about this besides the dick merchants? So we know that Tyrion definitely does not have a dwarf-sized cock. Because, you know, basically
obviously, those merchants are not well-versed in dwarf cock.
Well, you are talking about the slavers?
Yeah.
Yeah. Slavers obviously don't come across very many dwarves or handle their cocks. So, we have a live studio audience tonight, by the way. And he can barely contain himself while he listens to us talk about dwarf cock.
I don't know what they're...
How many dick merchants can there be? I mean, so, if there's...
I feel like not
you
many.
Have dwarves, obviously there's not very many dwarves, but there are dwarves. What kind of market... I mean, the market can sustain how many dick merchants?
They said it has magical properties, right? What other kind of dicks have magical properties? Is it just dwarf dick? Is there a dragon dick market?
Well, we know dicks have properties or magical properties because there's a whole thing of dickromancy.
Oh, yeah.
Remember? So,
yeah.
I mean,
dickromancy. Yeah,
we go back to Varys, right?
Yeah.
As a kid, he was kidnapped and his dick was cut off so that some dickromancer could work his crazy fucking magic on his cock.
Yep, so there's obviously magic in cocks.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what the market is for dwarf cocks, but there cannot... Surely there's not just one guy, all he does is sell dwarf cocks.
But you gotta know that fresh dwarf cock
is better. What kind of shingle do you hang out? What kind of shingle do you hang out for perfection like that? What does it look like?
Maybe they got a market stall right there.
Like, you know.
Just display your wares.
Is it right? Like a tripod or something? Dwarf cock? It's like a tripod, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. So, anyway, so what do we think is going to happen? So, Tyrion basically convinces these slavers.
That fresh dwarf cock is better.
Right. So, he's fair. Well, moving on. I'm trying to get that away from the dwarf cock. So, yeah. So, to spare his own life, he's like, hey, no merchant's going to believe the cock came from a dwarf. It's so fucking thumping huge that no one's going to believe that it came from a dwarf unless he sees the dwarf attached to the cock. So they're like, okay, you will live until we find the first dwarf or the first cock merchant we come across.
May they be few and far between.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, how many cities have a cock merchant? Does every city have a cock merchant? Is there just one cock merchant? I don't care. Okay, moving on. So... But Tyrion also convinces the slavers that they have a very powerful warrior, right?
Yep.
Unseated Jaime Lannister. All of these were lies, obviously. I mean, he's famous, but he's not famous for... I don't think he has any songs written about him.
No.
But he is a warrior, and he did...
Probably not famous as a warrior. He's famous as a slaver.
Right. Yeah. They should have known him, right?
Yeah.
They're in the same trade. But he is right. He did kill a Dothraki blood rider, right? In single combat. So, Jor even says, you know, well, the Khaleesi banned slavery. It's no more. And they're like, well, she reopened the fighting pits, and I've never heard of a free man fighting the fighting pits, except for that's what we know is supposed to be going on.
Yep.
But I guarantee you there's some kind of underhanded, underground slavery fighting shit going on, right?
Oh, yeah.
But Tyrion convinced them to take... I think he convinced them to take Jorah to the fighting pits in Meereen.
And himself, coincidentally.
That's where the cock merchants are,
yeah,
in Meereen.
I guarantee, yeah.
I mean, if there's a cock merchant to be found, yeah, he would be in Meereen. How do you think that's going to play out when they reach Meereen? Obviously, someone's going to recognize Jorah, right?
Yeah, I wonder if he's going
to... I think he's actually going to make it into the...
Yeah, I think...
He's going to make it in there, yeah. And then everybody's going to be like, it's fucking Jorah!
That or his affliction, grayscale, is going to come up first.
Ooh, you think the whole ship turns to stone men?
Yeah, by the time it sails into the bay, I think...
Tyrion's going to be the only one alive.
Maybe that's what forces Daenerys out of Meereen. That ship, can you imagine the ship
plague.
Full of...
A plague of grayscale.
Yeah, started by Jorah.
And...
Slavers.
Yeah, we'll see.
Now, whether Tyrion's... Let's hope... You know, hopefully Tyrion survives it, but...
I think Tyrion will survive it.
Yeah.
They haven't come... I don't think they'd come this far, because he's got some purpose to serve. He hasn't served a purpose yet. So there's some kind of thing that he's still going to do. All right, so anything else we want to talk about, Jorah and Tyrion? I think we completely covered cock merchants.
Yeah, that's thoroughly exhausted, that subject. Now, there was that moment when Tyrion told Jorah about, you know, his father dying.
Oh, yes. and Jor didn't know it, and then he explained it to him. So, they both shared a little bit of loss there. Tyrion killed his father, his own father, and then the bear was actually killed by his own men in the mutiny. Was that last season or the season before?
Season before, I think.
But we obviously, what that tells us, that news of everything happening everywhere travels. So anything that we see should not be considered secret, that, you know, the knowledge doesn't ever go past that. Because, I mean, that happened beyond the wall.
So. Yeah. That's still in a continent away, though. How often do you hear things that are going off?
Well, Jorah didn't, obviously, because he was drinking his fucking sorrows away in the brothel.
Yeah.
All right, so we'll go to King's Landing. The first thing we see in King's Landing is Baelish has arrived, right? And he's intercepted by Lancel and the Sparrows.
And the Sparrows.
Or the Faith, what do they call it? They call it the Faith, but it's the Faith Militant, right?
Yep. And this was an interesting scene because it shows that, you know, they have power enough to actually stop him. So they feel like they have some writ that allows them to do pretty much whatever the fuck they want. But not enough to actually do any harm to a lord. Or at least that lord.
Whoa, they did a shit ton to the heir of fucking Highgarden.
Yeah, but
I think Baelish, what Baelish had was Cersei.
Yeah.
He had the name of Cersei. He's on business there with Cersei, and that carries water with them because obviously she's the one that is backing their play. I think what that scene does the most, though, it's getting the audience to like Baelish. Right?
Yeah, that's true.
Because, the guys are all like, hey, we did this, we flooded the streets with wine, and we got rid of all these sins, blah, 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 and Baelish is like, oh, good work. And then...
you peddling fantasies.
Yeah.
People like mine better.
That's right. He said, we both peddle, don't give me, we both peddle fantasies here, but mine are just entertaining. Mine are entertaining, all right?
Yeah.
Which obviously scores... Baelish scored some points with me, anyways. I mean, he's a fucking ruthless asshole, but
yeah, I don't think he's gonna, because now his brothels are pretty much shut down now.
Right. Yeah, he doesn't have no coin coming in here. He doesn't really give a shit because he's now master of the area, right?
Yeah. So he's got all the taxes and shit from that land now. So
speaking of the area, so he meets with Cersei and reveals Sansa's location. And hatches a plan, right? So basically, he first says, hey, you should send a force north. Because actually what he says is, Stannis is coming south, the Boltons have Sansa, you should let them duke it out and then go in and
smash whoever's left.
And she's like, well, we can't do that. And so he offers to do it.
She kind of tipped her hand a little bit. She does not have an army backing her.
They do not have, King's Landing is operating on... wing and a prayer here.
Yep. Especially with no Lannister army behind Cersei herself.
The only thing she has are fucking priests with cudgels. But Baelish says, I'll send in the Eyrie.
If you make me
Warden of the North. Which I think was his big play. Like, I think he's smart enough that he'll never be able to sit on the throne. I don't think he ever thinks he'll be able to do that. Do you think?
Do you think his ambition reaches
to the throne?
He spelled it out pretty fucking clearly to Varys in like the first season. Hey, I want it all. I want all of it. Chaos is my realm. I am ruling this fucking place.
Okay. I think he would see himself as ruling if he put a puppet on the throne.
I think he would settle for it.
Like, I don't think he himself will ever dine to sit on the throne. But he's putting himself... really in charge of the North, which is a powerhouse, or was a powerhouse before Rob got betrayed, and then everybody scattered to the Four Winds. But
it makes you wonder how much of an army can they put together now.
I think they could put together something more than King's Landing can handle.
Oh yeah, definitely.
And on top of that, Cersei does what? Alienates herself from the Tyrells.
Oh yeah.
So who arrives?
She's busy like smashing her power base.
The Queen of Thorns comes along.
Lady Olenna.
And she's there to get her son out of prison or whatever, right?
Best when she landed, when they stopped her carriage.
Yeah,
and smelled the shit from 5 miles.
Why we stopped? Don't need to smell this shit any longer than I need to. So she's there. She has a meeting with Cersei, who's busy writing something, and she's like, "We all know that you're not writing anything. Put the pen down." And Cersei makes some comment about her being the tart of something, and then Olenna shoots back as...
Tart tongue.
Tart tongue, that's right. Tart tongue, Queen of Thorns. And Elena shoots back, "Is Cersei the tart?" And she's like, that gave her pause. She's like, excuse me?
Kind of got her attention.
Right. And so she actually, an unveiled threat, saying, hey, is this worth what you're doing right now with my family? Is it worth losing our food, your food? Because obviously the Tyrells are supplying food and wealth and soldiers, right?
And Cersei's response, I don't know what the fuck she's thinking. Oh, but it's not me.
Yeah, I didn't do that.
I didn't arrest you, sir.
Like, anybody, who the fuck is buying that? Like, no one buys that shit. We all know it's you, bitch.
It's like, you're gonna just smash every fucking thing that your family and your, you know, Tywin built, right?
Right.
He worked really hard on all this. And you're just gonna shove it in the fire.
You know, Olenna makes a comment saying that, you know, I didn't particularly like your father, but I respected him because he knew that sometimes you had to work with your rivals. Cersei makes a comment, House Lannister has no rivals. And I think she's right, but not in the way that she means. House Lannister is not in the position to rival anybody.
No, not anymore.
Right. So she doesn't even have her house backing her. Well, the remnants of her house doesn't even back her anymore.
She has a son that she wants to manipulate the shit out of, Tommen.
He's weak sauce.
She went and eroded his power base even more by adding the Faith Militant.
Right, and then we see how weak he is during the hearing, and basically she gave Cersei's big plan was to give Marge enough rope to hang herself, which she did. So she, the High Sparrow asked her, you know, her testimony, and she said that she never knew anything about any of her brother's buggery, which I guess is fucking people in the ass or sodomy. Well, it's the Westerosi term for sodomy. And then they call the secret witness in, right, which explodes everything, saying, hey, yeah, Margaery walked in on us, so she should have known, which puts Margaery and Loras back in jail.
What kind of tribunal was that, by the way? That's just some kind of farce, right?
Was it a tribunal? Because there's just one guy, right?
Yeah, he didn't. That's true.
He didn't convene with anybody.
No, there's no.
He just said the faith thinks there's enough evidence to hold a trial.
They call it a holy trial or something like that, right?
A hearing. I thought it was a hearing.
There's now enough evidence to bring it to trial, I guess. Right.
So it was more like a grand jury to see if you can be indicted. But there's just one guy. It's not very grand.
No.
So, what do you think the Tyrells' move is after this?
I don't think Lady Olenna's going to take that sitting down.
Hells no.
Nope. I think
Mace is going to end up being assassinated.
Yeah.
Olenna's going to take charge, though. Yeah, he's going to take charge. She's going to take charge and pull back all of the recent. Do you see the Tyrells allying with anybody?
Ooh.
Maybe somebody from Dorne?
I see Dorne, yeah.
Dorne and Tyrells?
Yeah, Ooh, that'll be interesting. And they have.
Is there anybody else the Tyrells would ally
pretty
with?
Pretty much any southern house. No, not like Lannister doesn't have the, you know, is not really in a position anymore to make demands of their, like, you know, the rest of the. They're not gonna. Lannister is no in position to ally with anybody. So anybody right. Grasping.
So the Greyjoys are out of it. It seems like we haven't seen anything about the Greyjoys except for the Broken Reek. Do you think the Tyrell would ever throw in their hats with, not Bolton, I don't think they'd ever do with Bolton.
Baelish.
I'm not even thinking Baelish, I'm thinking Stannis Baratheon.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah.
I can definitely see that, especially if he sweeps south.
So.
But she's not, I mean, there's no real contact right now.
Right, so. Well, I mean, there's crows or ravens.
Yeah, but that's not enough to make I mean, they're in no position to support her.
True.
They're in no position to support the
That is true.
I'm thinking of people who are currently in a position to do something, and I'm thinking pretty much any southern lord or lady that is not currently beholden to the Lannisters is going to back the most powerful, which is not the Lannisters.
Do you see anything in Cersei's plan backfiring in her face?
All of it.
Everything does, right? Eventually? She poisoned, the very beginning of this series, she poisoned the Hand, which blew up in her face. She was fucking Jaime in the tower and pushed Bran at the tower, which blew up in her face. You know, because it brought the Starks down there. The Starks discovered what the Hand was. You know, so, but anyway, I think what will happen if the Sparrow starts investigating the rumors of her crimes? Because if sodomy is a crime, then I bet incest is a crime in the eyes of the gods.
Can you? And that is what I think will ultimately bring her down and kill Tommen with her. And Jamie, if he ends up back in King's Landing somehow. You know, that's all.
Because Baelish mentioned something in their meeting. He said something to the effect that he said something about one's choice in companion is a curious thing.
Well, that's because she's
talking about what she's talking about. Loras being with men, and then he says one's choice in companion, which is a reference to Jaime, right?
Yep. And he's kind
of. And then she actually did another one on top of that, talking about his relationship with the former lady of the Eyrie, right?
Yep.
That he pushed out the fucking moon door.
Yeah. Like, she knows about that, and he knows about
everything. Well, I think she suspects. I don't know if she knows. I think everybody suspected that's why he was on trial, but...
But I'm pretty sure Baelish has more information on...
You're right.
And I bet, you know...
He would be the one to leak that.
The Sparrows kind of have a kind of star witness of their own, don't they? Lancel? Her and Lancel are involved.
That's true.
If that comes out...
That is very true. I wonder why that hasn't come out yet. I bet...
Maybe that trial isn't going... Maybe that trial of Loras is going to turn into one major trial.
Witch hunt. Witch hunts in the capital.
An incoming Inquisition.
That's crazy shit. So I can see King's Landing eventually coming under the sway of an Inquisition-type police state run by the High Septum, or, you know, the Sparrow, the High Sparrow. Do you think that's a possibility?
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
So the new player in town is the Faith Militant. And it could actually offset seriously set it in motion, and then she will actually be put out by it eventually.
Yeah, because I mean, you gotta know when she was doing that, she was clearly eroding Tommen's power base and Marjorie's influence. And
oh yeah, and by eroding Tommen's power authority,
she's eroding her own. Yeah,
right.
Which is really, really dumb. Like, that's really dumb of her.
All right. So, anything else you want to talk about that happened in King's Landing?
I don't think Baelish is going to be that allied with Cersei for very long. Especially,
okay, yeah. What
especially
do you think,
if Maeve Nolan
think,
in the North. Because like I said, he wants it all.
How do you think he's going to play that battle out? Do you think he's going to sweep in against the Boltons and then try to rescue Sansa back? Do you think he will turn Sansa over? Because that was the deal, right? I'll be Warden of the North if I turn in Sansa's head on the pike.
No, because he marries her and all of a sudden he's actually got the North behind him, right?
Okay.
And I think they'd be much more willing to follow the person who is the Eyrie. You know, he's got two Starks. He's had basically,
he's got two Starks.
Catelyn's sister. I guess he's not a Stark. He was never a Stark, but,
right.
You know, he's got ties.
Right, he does have ties.
So that would give him way more leverage with
it's true.
The North than even the Boltons could ever have.
Anything else we want to talk about here in King's Landing before we move on to Dorne?
No, I think that's it. I see Cersei dying soon, hopefully.
You would love that. So we go to Dorne, and what do we see here? A rescue attempt foiled by an assassination attempt, all foiled by the King's Guard, or the Prince's Guard.
Man, Bronn told that kid don't do anything stupid.
Okay, so previously, on a previous episode of the Faceless Men podcast, I called Bronn's number to die in this episode, and you saw something... That happened in the fight that made you think that I'm going to be right.
Yeah, because you see Bronn towards the end of the fight get sliced,
underneath his arm,
life-threatening wound. However, we know that Oberon was called the Viper, and he tipped his.
He was known for poison use.
Yeah, I doubt people with the snake is their house and
The sand snakes.
Yeah.
You think the sand snakes make fair use of poison, right?
Oh yeah, there's in my mind there's almost no question.
So you're thinking that maybe next episode or the episode after we see the demise of Bronn in painless agony in a dungeon?
I don't want to call it. I like Bronn.
That's what I'm calling. I'm thinking that he will get really sick.
Why not?
At least he'll get really sick.
Why the fuck not Jaime?
Yeah, I don't, because he has more to do. Speaking of which, how do you see this playing out? So they were all taken captive. You think they're going to be put on trial? Put on trial for the death, not the death of Oberyn, but the death of Oberyn's sister. Remember, that's the whole reason he hated the Lannisters. Do you think Jaime Lannister will be put on trial
for the death of
Oberyn's sister, the rape and murder?
That is a good question.
And his children or her children, right? They were all killed by the Mountain.
And they know that it was a Lannister who gave the order, right?
They're all convinced it was Tyrion.
Lannister's man.
Well, it's the Mountain, so it's the Lannister's man, and they're all fairly certain it was actually an order by Tyrion, or at least Oberyn was.
Tyrion?
Or Tywin. Tywin, yeah.
I don't know how, because it was kind of an interesting how it played out, because there's good combat action, right? And then the guards just kind of swoop on in on, like, kids caught with a hand, yeah. Like, hand in the cookie
jar. The kids were holding their own against Jaime and Bronn, though.
Yeah. I mean, like, everyone was just kind of caught.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
And, yeah, the captain of the King's Guard came in with his big fucking spear axe, right? And was like, when you were whole, this would have been a good fight. So.
Yeah, and it was like a bunch of kids rolling around tussling, fighting, and then the parents just walk up in on them.
So I think Jaime will get out of this, but I'm not for sure how. But I hope it's interesting, however he gets out of it.
I'm interested to see how that turns out.
Yeah.
Because it looks, they didn't just arrest
You know what I think? I think we won't find out this season what happens.
You don't think they're gonna come
back? I think they'll touch on it, but I don't think we won't see the plot move far enough to see how he actually gets out of the mess he's in. This season.
We only have like 3 episodes.
This is episode 6, so there's 4 episodes left.
I think we will. Well, not, at least we'll see the beginnings of it.
Okay.
At least the start of his, whether it's like them moving him back to...
Well, there's a whole lot of shit that we need to hit on. I can't believe we haven't hit... Well, I'll save it. I'll save it on things I can't believe we haven't seen. Is there anything else we want to talk about in Dorne?
What do you think... You know, they kind of... The king...
The prince.
The prince of Dorne was kind of talking with his advisor there.
At the beginning?
Yeah, because the whole thing was...
Because he knew what was going to go down.
Marcel and... What was the...
His son.
Name? Yeah. So those two seem to be getting married, and that marriage...
Well, I think his son.
Whatever. Will be... It sounds like that marriage is going to cause some significant difficulties.
Well, that's also how... I'm wondering how they'll play out with Jaime Lannister, because he wants the marriage to happen. The prince of Dorne wants the marriage to happen.
Jaime doesn't. Or at least doesn't...
Right. Which is but I think funny. That maybe there could be some kind of agreement reached.
Yeah, or reversal of Jamie's opinion of that
right. Exactly. Situation.
And I feel like Marcel is probably safer in Dorne.
I would definitely. She's not safe in King's Landing.
Yeah, even with the Sand Snake, she's probably safer in Dorne.
Yeah, it would be interesting if they could turn the public opinion of Marcel. It'll be interesting to see it. Maybe she denounces Jaime Lannister. Like, for coming and trying to kidnap her in front of everybody, and they kind of like, that's her. I don't know. Hell, I don't know. I'm just throwing shit out there. All right, so into the last scene, the last location of this episode, Winterfell. It was a pretty rough scene.
Or this episode has been kind of rough. You had,
the Arya scene was rough.
And then this.
And this was rough.
And so I want to talk about Do you think Sansa was actually scared off a little bit by the Miranda's...
Yeah, did you see the relief when she left? I think she was waiting for her to do something to her while they were taking a bath.
Yeah, she's all...
There's a sigh of relief, and I don't know if that was just a sigh of relief for that girl to leave, or a sigh of, oh my god, what have I gotten into because of the stories she was telling, or maybe a little bit of both.
Do you think she believed those stories?
I think she believes now.
Oh, yeah, I definitely think she believes now. And so my question is, what do you think Miranda's endgame is? What do you think her goal is?
Well, I think her goal is to get Sansa to do something that will piss Ramsay off enough to kill her.
Oh, interesting. I think she's fed up with Ramsay, and she doesn't want to end up like Ramsay's other girls.
Oh, so you think that she is now in danger of becoming the one who's boring him?
Yes, because I think Sansa is too powerful for him to kill out of hand like that. Because she just suddenly dies by dogs or something like that?
I don't know. Ramsay's fucked up, man. He's unstable,
but I think if he wants to
keep his dad would be upset, but I don't think he would.
He might not, but I think if he did do something like that, holy shit. Hammer of the North.
So, I think very quickly we're going to find out if the message Sansa received in her bedchamber from the North Remembers is actually the message from Brienne, or if it's Ramsay playing a trick on her.
I think, yeah, we'll definitely see that.
Oh, yes. Because I don't see her lying. I mean, it's a shame because Sansa's come such a long way. I hate to see her treated this way.
And I wonder...
Because I kind of felt like she was growing into her own and becoming powerful and a player. And then to see her reduced...
It definitely felt like a reduction.
Yeah, reduced this way by Ramsay. So Ramsay raped her and made Theon watch.
As much punishment to Theon
as I don't... Sansa. I did not like that from, besides the fact that rape is horrible. I didn't see, like, I did not like seeing her character reduced that way, because I felt like she was growing and she had an opportunity here.
Becoming powerful, a strong, right. strong person.
I just didn't like how this episode ended. Got anything else to talk about this?
For that,
it's hard. Yeah, I hate ending on this, but there's some things I want to talk about.
I do want to say that I don't think I kind of wonder. I'm still wondering where Miranda's endgame is, and whether it's whether her ire is directed at Sansa
I don't think
or
she
Ramsay.
I think she's twisted in love with Ramsay, and I don't. Maybe that twisted love means that she's going to kill him. Maybe it doesn't. I don't know. Sansa's in for some rough shit. I hope Stannis Baratheon gets there quickly. Is all I got to say at this point.
Oh yeah.
So the next episode is called The Gift. What do you think that's in reference to?
So we chatted a little
right. bit. Right. So I called out Bran because we haven't seen Bran all fucking season. We're six episodes down, no Bran. And Bran obviously has a gift, right? He had the sight, right? Or whatever.
I think it might be referencing multiple Ward. People.
It could be. It could also be referencing Melisandre. With some kind of witchcraft shit.
So Bran, Melisandre. I think Daenerys. She's got to get the dragon.
It could be Tyrion. Tyrion could be the gift that Jorah brings via the slavers.
yeah, that's true too. So we have Daenerys, Bran, Melisandre,
Tyrion.
And I think Arya.
Arya, yep. She could learn something, the gift. The gift to change her face, right? Yeah, I don't know what's going to go on next episode. I haven't looked ahead except to see the title. Lots of stuff happened this episode.
Now I'm just waiting for more things to pan out. That's why this is definitely a move forward. I don't necessarily like where it stepped.
Yeah. So I think next episode will also be, personally, I think next episode will be exactly like this episode. And then you'll see a sharp build up in episode 8. Then the penultimate episode of the season 9, will be where everything fucking shakes down. Season 9 will be the Stannis. I bet we don't see Stannis at Winterfell until episode 9. And then 10 will be, of course, the wrap-up and preview of what's going to happen next.
Do you think the Tyrells are going to last out the season? Do you think there's going to be a Tyrell family?
I think that there is going to be a Tyrell family left. I don't know if Margaery and Loras will be part of that family anymore.
I think that they might be, the entire Tyrell family might be gone by the end of the
season. You do? Who do you think is going to wipe them out?
Cersei and her fucking Sparrows.
No way. No way can the Sparrows go up against the militant might of the Tyrells.
I don't say militant might. I don't, like, they might. I'm talking about
you
cutting
that dastardly leash?
I'm thinking the Tyrells are mostly in King's Landing. You have Lady Olenna, Loras, Margaery, right?
You think the Sparrows are going to assassinate people?
I don't think it's the Sparrows that are going to do it.
Okay. I don't know. I think the Tyrells will still be.
Because if they leave Lady Olenna alive, holy fucking shit retribution.
You're right. Cersei obviously knows she can't let that. But if they kill Olenna, it's not like the Lannisters inherit all their shit.
No, but
either way, King's Landing loses.
Yeah, I don't think. Yeah.
I think the Tyrells are still going to be a player.
I've been disappointed by the show. Somebody died. with people dying, and I think that's going to happen. Just because it's the thing I don't want to happen.
Yeah. Well, I can't wait till next episode to see what happens next. Got anything else you want to talk about?
Nope.
All right. Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Face of Men podcast covering HBO's Game of Thrones television series. I'm your host, Michael.
And I'm your host, Jesse. Valor Morghulis.